and welcome to How Fitting, the podcast for fashion designers and entrepreneurs about creating clothing and growing a business that fits your customer, lifestyle, and values. I'm your host, Allison Haynes. Before we get started, do you want to get your designs to production without compromising your brand's fit, vision, or values? My pattern making services are tailored to help women's wear slow fashion brands do just that. You can learn more and book a free introduction call at howfittingpatterns.com to see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Now on to the episode. Today I'm joined by Janet St. Cyr and Diana Cairns of Bambina Swim. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Allison, for having us. We're excited.
Yes, thank you, Allison. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, wonderful. For those who are listening and meeting you for the first time, could you each share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Diana, and I'm the founder and co-owner of Bambina Swim, alongside my mother and business partner, Janet. We're an eco-conscious swim and resort wear brand, and we design statement-making pieces in bright, bold, feel-good colors and eye-catching prints so women can stand out, feel comfy, confident, and beautiful.
So cool.
And I'm Janet, the other half of Bambina. I am also Diana's mom. And we want women to feel like they packed something really special in a standout piece for their vacation or wherever their adventures take them. And when you put on clothes that make you feel good and you can't help but feel confident and beautiful. And that's our mission.
I love it. So, yeah. Let's kind of dive right in. Like, you both kind of mentioned the, you know, confident and beautiful piece of things. So how do you, like, build that into your pieces? And, like, what does your design process look like to create that for your customers?
Sure. Mom, do you want to lead on that one, or I can?
Why don't you start, Diana?
Sure. So I think that we're both inspired by the natural world and nature and also traveling and what somebody might want to pack while on vacation. So when we design collections, we just, actually my best friend is our ideal client. So I have a lot of voice notes and WhatsApp conversations with her, and she actually lives in the Cayman Islands. So she served as like a big inspiration for how we design pieces. And myself and her included, we just like, you know, bold, bright, vibrant things that are kind of eye-catching. So I think that tying that in and tying in inspiration from nature and the natural world kind of just like guides our latest collections and design process.
Nice. And also when Diana and I sit down and look at color cards, we're automatically drawn to the bright, bold colors. We both share that aesthetic. And as Diana said, the natural world is a great inspiration. We have a collection right now. It's called the Cardamom Collection, and it's inspired by the Cardamom rainforest and the endangered animals. So we are definitely inspired by nature in bright and bold, and we call them feel-good colors in prints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I was looking at your pieces, like, I was drawn to that as well. I'm also a big enthusiast of color and prints, and especially kind of like leafy, interesting prints that you can like find hidden things in.
Yes. So.
Cool. So yeah, how do kind of these interests in the color and travel and the natural environment like turn into this brand? Like, how did Bambina Swim start?
Well, it started back in 2015, and we actually launched with a Kickstarter campaign. Okay. And growing up as a child, I was always like a water baby swimming, and my grandmother lived on a lake, and it was just impossible to get me out of the water at the end of the day. So growing up, my best friend also had a pool, and I used to kind of just throw on bathing suits under my outfit and head over to her house, and just kind of like, it made me feel in a way that I was kind of always on vacation because I just had like a swimsuit under my outfit and I felt like ready to go to the beach or, you know, just go lay by the pool. Mm-hmm. So when I was a little bit older, I went to fashion school and kind of just like thinking or knowing rather that I wanted to have my own line. And I had always been drawn to swim and resort wear. So I decided, why not start a swimsuit brand? And in 2015, we launched with a successful Kickstarter campaign. And then here we are now, many years later.
Well, as for myself, I don't have a background in fashion design, but I've always loved to sew. And I'll go back when to the traditional sewing your Barbie doll clothes. And my neighbor used to do that. And I was just so fascinated by that. And so I was always drawn to sewing and photography, interior design. So I've always been on the creative side. And also, I have a background in environmental science, and I've always been attuned to the importance of nature in our lives and how important a role we all play. And I was the chairperson of the recycling committee in our town before recycling was even a cool thing to do. And so I've always had that predisposition to protecting our environment. And I love to be creative as well. So it was a combination of both.
Cool. And yeah, that's so interesting. I always find it fascinating to hear kind of the background of different guests that I interview on this podcast, because often their background is not in the fashion industry. It's kind of, split. Maybe a third are always knew they wanted to be in fashion, went to school for fashion, started a brand, and then like the other two thirds, have these careers in other industries and then end up in fashion. I think that adds so much to, to have that mix of both of a different perspective in fashion. Because I don't think you most people I don't think of environmental science and like being good to the environment and fashion, fashion gets a
Exactly.
bad rap to, in that regard. So how have you guys balanced kind of those two, the creative side of fashion and running this brand with kind of the environmental consciousness from your background, Janet?
Well, as I mentioned previously, that I am very conscious about preserving what I have. I hate throwing things away. I even search my bath towels when they get frayed. I hate to throw them away. So I always like that element of it. And then when Diana started her business, I got so excited about it, and I was helping her quite a bit. And then we decided a year ago that, well, let's make this official. Let's join forces and create a company and work together. And she has certain skill sets she brings to the table, as do I. And right now we're a small business, so we all do a little bit of both, but of everything, I should say. But I know, I just love the act of creating and just being inspired by the environment and nature and colors. And so I suppose that's how my environmental background comes into play with this.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what does kind of your day-to-day look like for both of you? You're both not in the same city, correct?
No, I'm in Jersey City, and my mother is in Massachusetts, where I'm from. So she is up there, and I'm down here, and we meet on Zoom daily. And we have a Trello board that we both take notes on and have our little schedule on. And we have maybe 4 to 5 different Zoom meetings every day, just checking in. And we both have our checklists. Like my mom said, we kind of both do a little bit of everything at the moment because there's just, so much to do and we have to wear all the hats. We don't have a team outside of the two of us. So we're doing it all.
And where I live in a home and Diana lives in an apartment, so I have the luxury of having more space. Therefore, I don't have the inventory here. Diana has the inventory, but I have everything else, all our sewing supplies. I have mannequins and buttons and samples. So I house all of that here. And Diana comes here quite often, and then we brainstorm, we plan, we do a lot of work here. But Diana does house the swimwear in her apartment. So when we have this new collection produced, we're going to have to change that, I think.
Yeah,
You run
might have to
out
get a
of
drop
space.
shipping partner or a
Correct.
different solution.
Correct.
Yeah, as the brand grows, I can see that gets a little bit more difficult to kind of run it out of a spare
Yes,
bedroom,
yeah.
and house
It is.
everything.
And we're
Yeah.
just getting started and figuring that all out. But every day is something new and a challenge, and we just deal with it as it comes.
And I currently bartend semi full time. I work 3 to 4 days a week, so that's another element of our schedule that's a little bit challenging because I have crazy hours, and sometimes I go in at 7 p.m. and I don't get home until 5 or 6 in the morning because the bar is open till
Oh,
four.
wow.
So we're just trying to mitigate how that works. So some days, we're not really able to start right at 9 a.m. and go through till 5 p.m. because, sometimes I have to sleep until noon or 1 p.m. So every day is a little bit different, but we're working through it together.
Yep, I feel like that's how it goes with being a founder of a business, especially of a growing small business. Kind of make the schedule and make it work for you and fit work around life and vice versa. And yeah.
Exactly.
So what has kind of the growth of the brand look like? I mean, you said you started in 2015, so you're 9 years in at this point, which is, a decent amount of
Yeah,
years, so congrats
thank
on that.
you. We are 9 years old officially, but it doesn't necessarily feel like that because after the Kickstarter, after the first initial production run and push, that went great. We got a lot of great feedback, but I was working full time at the same bar I'm at right now, so I kind of put the business to the side after the initial Kickstarter campaign and after we fulfilled our initial orders. I wouldn't say it was neglected, but it was kind of just put to the side and shelved for many years. And there was a few times that
Okay.
we worked on it here and there for a couple months. But then I would say we didn't launch another collection until late summer of 2020. So at the beginning of 2020, we had decided, okay, let's get going again. Let's take this really seriously and, revamp everything. And we started to sample and work with our fit model and source fabrics and design a new collection. But then, of course, that was the year of when, COVID came.
Everything shut
Yes.
down. Yeah.
But we still moved ahead. We had like virtual fittings. I had driven up to Connecticut where the fit model was staying with her family. And like we had like these like distant, very strange fittings where she would try in the swimsuit and I was, however many feet away. It was interesting. But we made things happen like that for that season. And then we ended up launching very late, almost around Labor Day of summer of 2020. And it was just kind of bad timing. And that was all kind of a, I wouldn't say a mess, but that was, another interesting time and hurdle to get through. So between 2015 and 2020, it was very sparse. We revamped again in
Okay.
2020, and then we launched another collection in 2022. And now we're launching new resort wear in 2024. So I feel like now in these past couple years have been the years where we have really dived in and taken it seriously. So it's hard to say that we started in 2015 because of all the gaps and inconsistencies. So in my mind, it's almost like we started again in 2020, 2021-ish, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes it takes a while to kind of find the right timing or the right, resources to really start how you want to. So I'm curious, like, what was maybe some of the things or circumstances or like what changed to make 2020 like the time where you're like, okay, let's go kind of all in on this and take it more seriously. Like, what did that look like before and after?
Okay.
Well, I was just going to make the comment that I think one of the driving forces was that you want to change careers. And I am ready to start full time as well and to go in at 100%. So that I think that was behind the scenes driving force. And go ahead, Diana.
Oh, yes, that's all definitely very true. I mean, I appreciate and love my job, and it's a great, way to fund Bambina, but it's not my dream. But, what has to be done now. So I still have to have that job, you know, to pay bills, to fund the business. But of course, I want this business to sustain my life and everything financially. So I'm not able to leave my job quite yet. But that, I think that was a big driving force back then. You're right, Mom. That was a big push in that direction. And the business had always been there. It just, I don't know, for some reason it had been like dormant and stagnant. And I got married in 2019. So that took a lot of our time that year. And then after the,
Planning your
yeah,
wedding.
that was all consuming. And after the wedding was over, you know, the late fall 2019, early 2020, I think then I had the mental space and capacity to be like, okay, let's do this again. This is what I want. And my mom had always been such a big help and my sounding board, and we were like constantly talking, and she was basically like unofficially officially my business partner, but we made it legally official last winter. And that's how we became business partners, because she was just always there by my side anyways. And we're like, you know what, like you need to be legally on paper in this. So that's how that all kind of morphed into be.
And now I have monetary skin in the game, so that changes things as well.
Yeah, my mom is not like officially a business partner with me, but she certainly is there. She like proofreads my stuff for me, and if I need, like, what would you do in this situation? You know, call her up, ask for a second opinion. So,
Yep, that's how it
yeah,
starts.
it's.
That's great, though.
So, what is it like working together remotely and as a mother-daughter team? Like, what parts of the process are you doing? Are you doing kind of everything start to finish, from design to development and fittings and making the pieces, or what does that look like?
Well, let's see. So I'd say that we both kind of have our hands dipped in pretty much everything at the moment, although I'm here in Jersey City. So we produce our pieces at a factory in Manhattan in the Garment District. So I'm the one that's able to go and, you know, have meetings, fit meetings with the pattern maker, pick up samples. And I kind of facilitate all of those production things here in New York, which my mom is unable to do because of distance. But everything else, I think that we, you know, we're both involved in the design process. We both give our opinions on, you know, email marketing, social media posts, Pinterest. My mom does do the bookkeeping, so that's a godsend. Thank you, Mom. So I don't have to do any of that, but I need to learn at least the basics. But other than that, I'd say that we don't have super defined roles at the moment, and we're both kind of just mitigating everything together in a way.
And I think, Allison, at the beginning of your question, you were asking how does it work with the mother-daughter business relationship. And it's wonderful, and but it does have its challenges because you're mother and daughter. So you can't escape that role mentally. And so sometimes it sneaks in a little bit, but we're both really good and we call each out on it, and we work it out. But it's really wonderful because it's unusually intimate. You never have that relationship with any other business partner, and we can read each other's minds sometimes.
Too much.
Definitely can read each other's minds. So, and we feed off that, and it works out really well. And luckily, to be in the same business, you have to have the same, we have the same goals, and we have the same aesthetics, basically. And so it's been a wonderful relationship, business relationship, really has.
Yeah. And we know
That's
that we can
wonderful.
trust one another completely. Like, there's never any question about, you know, the other's motives or anything. And it's really nice just to have somebody there that's always going to have your back, like who has your back more than your own mother. So it's been really nice.
Yeah, that's a huge, the trust is a huge thing of, like, the advice I've heard from other people, like, considering business partnerships, or even, like, when I've done so in the past, it's, like, the advice I always hear is, you know, you want to go in business with somebody that It's kind of like a marriage in a business sense. Like, you're very connected. You have to have the same goals and like see the same future for this thing that you're, partnering on. And if there isn't that trust, it's not going to be a successful partnership.
Exactly.
And
Yes.
yeah. So what? Yeah, go
Oh, I
ahead.
was going to say, and of course, we don't think exactly the same. And but that's a good, it works out well because she sees things that I don't see, and vice versa. And we really respect that in each other. And yeah, so that was another reason why it works out well.
And the flip side of things,
Yeah.
though, not to, go down a negative rabbit hole, but we
It's
do.
absolutely.
We both have a very perfectionism quality to our personalities. So that's been something that we've actually been really good at calling each other out on lately. Like, stop worrying about the size of that font. It doesn't matter if the color is slightly off-white, or like, we just have to kind of keep each other in line in that aspect and not overthink things, because we both do. We're both very prone to that perfectionism type of paralysis analysis, or analysis paralysis, or however you say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I'm that way as well, where I'd be like, okay, this is better than what it is. There's some things where it needs to be perfect, and other things where, maybe the f exact font size, if it's 1 point different, it's not going to
Right, no
matter.
one's gonna know
It
except you.
matters that it's out there.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, getting over that and being okay with, posting something and then realize, oh, there was one typo that I missed. Like, in the grand scheme of things, not horrible,
Right.
but yeah.
I think what helps with that is being busy, because I'm finding out the busier that we are, I don't have time to worry about the size of a font anymore. I don't. So
True.
that definitely has helped being a little busier. And also, I think Diana is as falls into this as well. Oh God, I'm such a victim of the bright, shiny object. I've been reeling that in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, creative minds, I think, are always prone to that of like, ooh, this is cool. Like, ooh,
Exactly.
I have an idea for this, and it's like, okay, finish the idea you're currently working on.
Exactly.
Jot that down for later. What is the
It's just so
priority?
many options nowadays for everything you can even imagine, so it gets overwhelming.
Exactly.
So earlier you mentioned kind of like you have the same goals. And would you mind sharing, like, what are some of the goals that you both have for the brand and for where you want to see it going?
Sure. Well, right now because we are a slow fashion brand and everything that we do has the earth in mind, we want to grow slowly and we don't want to overproduce. So at the moment, we're keeping our numbers low, and I'm thankful to be able to work with a factory that lets us do a lower minimum than I feel like would be possible at other factories. So we're keeping everything small, and we'd like to grow incrementally and maybe do 2 to 3 smaller capsule collections every year. And it's been our vision to design more resort wear pieces and have the swimwear still involved, but kind of branch out a little bit more into the resort wear aspect of things, because I think I love swim and it's definitely not going to go away for our business, but it is a little bit easier to, right now we have a robe on our website that fits many, many different body types, and it's not like a swimsuit where it's a little bit more specific fit wise. So even the robe that we have right now on this site, I think that it appeals to a very wide age range. And I think that we could accomplish that moving forward with signature resort wear pieces. So hopefully we're on the same page. In my mind, that's where we'd like to go, with just a few capsule resort wear collections with staple swimsuit silhouettes that can be paired with the resort wear.
Exactly. And
Nice.
also one vision that we do have is to create our own custom prints. Diana is studying a graphic design program right now, and we're both artistic, and so we would definitely love to provide our own custom prints on our garments. That's the dream.
That's really cool.
The la the existing collection that we have, the Cardamom collection, we work with a graphic designer. And actually, Natalia Pavelli, I apologize.
Cavanelli.
Pavanelli, I apologize, Natalia, if you ever listen to this. And we loved working with her. And with her and our vision and her vision, we just brought this beautiful, she brought this beautiful print to life. And moving forward, we'd love to do that ourselves too. We have a lot of good ideas moving forward, especially destination inspired. Maybe we dream about maybe a Palm Beach collection, a Malibu collection, a Saint-Tropez, etc. So that prints is a big way we want to move forward, custom prints.
Yeah, so cool. And I didn't realize Natalia was the one who drew that print. I've
Yes.
had her on the podcast
Yes,
previously.
yeah. I just listened to the episode.
Yes, I love
It's
her.
pretty good. Oh,
She's so
cool.
talented.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So yeah, do you mind sharing a little bit more kind of about the Cardamom collection and that print and like what inspired that print in particular for people who have not seen it and are listening to this?
Sure. Well, we had written a blog post, and my mom had found this hotel slash resort called Shintamani Wilds in Cambodia. And it's a very, very unique resort. You actually zip line in through the rainforest into the resort. And if you don't want to do that, they do have like a jeep that will drive you in. But I thought that was pretty cool. And I think they have 15 different tents, and they're all situated on top of like the river. Tucked away, nestled in the forest. And the resort has many different conservation efforts, and they're based around sustainability. And it was designed by this famous, talented architect, Bill Bensley. So we actually wrote a blog post about this resort, and Bill Bensley reposted it on his Instagram. So it was super exciting. And yeah,
Oh,
it
cool.
was just very inspiring and really beautiful. And we kind of thought, why don't we design a resort wear piece around a woman who may be vacationing at Shintamani Wild and what she'd wear, kind of walking to the pool or lounging around on her hotel room deck. And that's where the idea stemmed from. And then after researching a little bit more into their conservation efforts and finding out more about the cardamom rainforest and the endangered species there, we were inspired to put some of the actual species on the print. So Natalia beautifully drew a clouded leopard and a great hornbill bird, and those are incorporated on the print. So it actually serves as a talking piece. And if you're wearing it and somebody asks about it, then it's an opportunity to share the story of the endangered species. And a percentage of proceeds from the sales of the garments are going to go towards the Wildlife Alliance and their efforts to protect the species. So we're really passionate about it, and there's a a lot of different things going on with the robe between just the aesthetics of it and the story behind it, and just how passionate we are about helping the animals and the rainforest there.
And the,
Yeah,
oh, I'm
that.
sorry, Allison.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to continue that story that the Shintamani Wild PR person is the original person I got in touch with to ask for permission for to use your photographs. And she, I told her that I asked her permission if we could name their resort as a source of inspiration. And she was so enamored by that whole thought. She went to the general manager, and they're going to actually sell a couple of the robes in their boutique. And we're donating a couple of two robes for an auction that benefits the Shintamani Wild Foundation. So the collaboration is just, it's wonderful. It's really beautiful. It's all,
Yeah.
it's, We're able to talk about them, give them exposure, and as well, for us as a business, it's wonderful, but
Yeah.
it just worked out wonderful for all parties involved.
It's been very exciting.
Yeah. That's a really fun like collaboration to not only get like be inspired by that resort and the different wildlife and animals that are there, but to actually get to kind of work with them on a more business level on promoting what each of you are doing. That's really cool that your kind of visions aligned there, and got to benefit both.
Yeah, it's been so
Exactly.
exciting.
It's very exciting. When I first got the email, I had to read it twice. I was so excited. I told my husband, I said, come and look at this. Come and look at this. I was so excited. It's wonderful.
When we had designed it, I had thought, oh wow, it would be so amazing if they actually sold it in their resort boutique. But I
It was
kind
a
of,
fantasy.
I was like, that's a crazy, far-fetched thing. It's this luxury, award-winning resort. And they actually reached out to us and asked us if we would be willing to sell a few pieces. And the proceeds are going 100% of the profits from the sales of the robes at Shintamani Wild are going to go towards the Wildlife Foundation. So it's pretty cool too that all of that will go towards helping the animals in the forest.
Yeah, that is really cool. So, do you both travel a lot? It sounds like you're inspired a lot by travels. Is that something that you both get to do often?
I'd say for myself, I did more so when I was younger, and now I'm in the phase where I'm just like working here, working on the business, and I'm in a little bit different of a place in my life where I'm kind of just putting my head down and, work, work, work. But I have had the opportunity to travel a lot of different places, and I would love to continue again, but not at the moment. We're waiting,
Gotcha.
Yes, I love to travel with, oh geez, I don't remember what years, but for several years, my husband and I would sail. We did a lot of sailing in the Caribbean. And last year, we had the opportunity to go to France with Diana and her husband to a family wedding. So that was a fun trip. I don't travel as much as I would like to, but I do love to travel. I do love it.
So when you do get to travel, what are kind of your go-to pieces that you pack and why? Because I know, at least on your website, you talk about, making Bambana swim pieces kind of women's go-to for when they're traveling. So I'm curious if the things that you normally bring inspired the pieces in the Bambina collection.
Yes, I think that we're exactly what you said. Like, we're designing pieces around things that you would bring as like a staple travel piece on a trip. So when we went to France, we were in the south of France, and there was a pool at the hotel. So I would wear the robe sample to the pool every day. So I think that having something that's like special, that's you kind of reserve that piece for like your special trips or vacations, is what we're trying to design around. And when I do go away, I always feel like I like to have like you kind of bring out your Sunday best and, wear it to dinner on vacation or something that you necessarily wouldn't ordinarily wear in day-to-day life, but you would save for like a special moment or a special vacation. So those are the type of things that I like to incorporate in my suitcase, but also pieces that are versatile and that you can wear in multiple different occasions, because I'm sure a lot of people can relate to the overpacking problem and stuffing a million things into your suitcase. So I think that if you have something that can serve, for instance, to go to the robe again, that you could wear it down to the pool, but you could also wear it over jeans with heels and, like a bodysuit and wear it out at night to dinner. So I think having versatility in your travel wardrobe is really important too, especially to keep your bag more lightweight than it might be otherwise.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Actually, this last trip to France was a great impetus for me to figure out a way to pack just the right pieces. And it has been an inspiration when Diana and I talk to, yes, that's what we need to do. We need to create garments that are versatile. So I, true transparency, I am an overpacker.
Really
Really,
bad.
really, really. Yeah, I need therapy. But the it's so when I this last time I was on vacation, of course, you always wear the same things. And then I was able to figure out, oh, geez, this is a very versatile piece that I can wear with A, B, and C. So I learned a lot by overpacking. So that's really what we're trying to do to help women when they go on vacation, the pack less. And quality pieces that you know will work well together, and you don't have to think as much about what you're wearing because you know everything's going to look great together. And of course, we're not designing something a whole wardrobe for someone to put in their suitcase, but just some very key pieces that really work and just make your vacation a lot easier.
Wonderful. So you're talking a minute ago about quality. What are some of the things that you both look for and design into to create a quality piece? Like, what are those things that you're thinking about in terms of quality?
I think it starts with fabric choice, and we take a lot of care into the fabrics that we use, and the comfort of the pieces at the same time. That being said, we do also keep the earth in mind in everything we do. So our choices, I guess, are a little bit different because, we want to make sure that each facet of the garment hopefully can be, a recycled fabric, or, all of our packaging is made from recycled paper and whatnot. So keeping the sustainability factor in mind and the quality factor in mind is definitely challenging when it comes to some aspects. But I think that the fabric is a big part. And Mom, did you want to chime in on?
Yes, also the way that a fabric feels is very, very important. And we have been using this Econil fabric that is really, really body skin friendly. We love that. And also, Diana has the luxury of living very close to the factory. And so she can pop in there or any sewing issues that she has, she can just run right into the factory and discuss that. So we look at stitching. Stitching's important inside and out. The fit, we look for the fit quality of the fabric.
And I have,
And
oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, no, I'm go ahead, I'm done.
Oh, it's okay. I really just have loved the relationship that I've had with our factory over the years. And because I do have a background in fashion design and I know how to the general, basics of clothing construction, that I feel like I can, question what they're doing sometimes and maybe suggest like an alternative way, but just having that background and knowledge to be able to guide the quality in the direction that we want to go to, I think is very helpful too.
So, how did you find this factory? I think for a lot of brands, finding a factory that, works with their minimums, works with kind of their goal with the brand, communicates in a similar way. It's difficult to find sometimes at first. So, how did you find this factory? Because they seem like a really great fit for what you guys are doing with
Thank you.
Bambina.
Yes, I actually had a swim, an internship with a swim and ready-to-wear company. I don't think they do ready-to-wear anymore, but I'm sorry, swim lingerie company. Back, I'm not sure what year it was, many years ago, before I started Bambina. And they used to, send me on their errands to pick up and drop off, and I kind of just kept track in my head where I was going and people I was meeting, and I'm not sure if that's what I was supposed to be doing as an intern, but I had that resource from them that I feel like in the fashion industry, I'm not sure if it's like this across the US, but at least in New York, it's like you don't know anything's there unless you know it's there. Like you can't just Google swimwear factory Midtown Manhattan. You're never gonna find it. So I had the privilege of having the ability to go to a few different places that company was working with. And then I reached out to them because I had the address. I don't know if I think I might have actually popped in myself, but they were willing to work with me and took me on as a client, and we've been working with them ever since.
And we were fortunate
Nice.
that they allow us to have really low minimums, which has been a godsend. It's really been helpful.
Yeah, we're just able to test products instead of, producing this whole massive production run and then maybe that was a style that didn't work or whatnot. So we've been able to just take it really slow and kind of see what's working and what's not and produce accordingly.
Yeah, and that's a smart way to do things, especially starting, when you're first starting out and you don't kind of have that customer base or like sales history to know what the popular styles are, what colors are resonating. So now, like, how many? I know you mentioned wanting to do kind of like two or three capsule collections a year, but like right now, how many pieces do you generally release at once in terms of like new styles and then like within that colors? Like, what is kind of the collection size currently?
It's been very small. We're definitely taking it really slow, as I said before, and just trying to be smart about moving forward. So for the cardamom collection, we have just two styles. We have a sarong and a robe, and we're currently doing a pre-sale now, which actually ends tomorrow. So after the pre-sale, they won't be able be available for purchase until mid-May. So that's what we're doing for this collection. And then we actually haven't planned out further than this in the future. We're just, focusing on this and seeing how this goes. And then I would assume we would do something similar for the next collection, but we haven't actually had that conversation quite yet because we've been really focusing on everything going on with this because it's been quite the project and there's been a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a lot of opportunities with this
Yeah.
collection to keep you
And we've
busy.
actually been working on the print design itself. We started working with Natalia in the winter of 2022. So the idea and everything has been brewing for about 2 years, and we're just so excited to finally be releasing these products now. So I don't think the next collection is going to take 2 years, but we'll definitely take some time to really think that out. But I don't have an answer as to what that exactly is going to look like yet, but we're kind of just releasing a few pieces at a time at the moment.
We also have existing two swimwear co collections, and we are still selling an archive sale of collection that we had quite a few years ago. So we have three different swimwear collections in addition to the robe and sarong. So, moving forward, we hope to design another swimsuit. That's our biggest immediate goal right now, and work on another resort capsule collection. So maybe by the fall.
Nice. So kind of balancing, and your pieces are, they look very kind of classic where it, they're not going to go out of style in a year, in one summer. Like you can wear them for years. And so kind of having that slower release of new collections, it makes sense for, on the business side and just to, keep things slow and not overproduce. And also you can, to continue to sell your previous collections because they are still relevant.
Exactly.
Yeah, we like to incorporate a classic timeless element to the pieces. Of course, I like to look at trends and to see what people are wearing and what's trending now, but I think to have something that you could still wear and that would still be in style 10 years from now or 10 years ago is what we both feel like. We always want to keep that element in our designs
Yeah, absolutely.
of timelessness.
Yeah, what it, I'm also curious, like, Diana, you have the background in fashion, and Janet, you don't as much, prior to, the experience running this brand. What are some of the things from kind of your backgrounds that you felt like have been really helpful with running the brand? And then maybe what are some of the things completely outside of fashion that you feel like are super helpful in what you do now?
You can take this one.
Well, I feel that I am a very organized person, so that definitely helps with business. And I have been working with my husband and doing the bookkeeping for his business for several years. And I also work with him on the interior design. He's a home builder, and a lot of elements of his business. And home design is similar to clothing design. There's engineering involved in detail, and I feel that's my strength. I'm very organized and detailed, and I just like to work with my hands a lot. I love to sew. As a matter of fact, before I was on this call, I said, "Oh, geez, maybe I can sew a couple of a couple of things while I'm waiting." So I think that's what I add to the business. That's my background. And what I enjoy, I think, has helped me in this business.
Yeah, that's huge of some, being organized with the details and keeping track of things. And I agree, a lot of, my job as a pattern maker, I feel like, is very kind of left brain engineering focused,
Absolutely.
the organization and the numbers. And there's a creative outcome, but it is very, it's all the details, which I find really fun too.
For me myself, I think that having the background from fashion school was very beneficial. As I mentioned earlier, that I know how to sew, as does my mom, and I know what the construction of the garments that we're making entails. So I think that that's been helpful to communicate with the factory and to just design things from start to finish in general. And then I think outside of my background with school, that I have been in the restaurant and service industry for over 10 years, maybe 15 years now. And I think that that's helped me with my personality, that I could be outgoing and I could put myself out there, and I'm not really afraid anymore to, put my face behind the brand on social media and get on Instagram and do all the stories of me talking and stuff. So I feel like just being in an environment, a bartending environment, and being forced to talk to people constantly has helped with my confidence and my ability to kind of like be relentless in putting this out there.
Yeah, so cool. There's so many things that like go into running a fashion business, and the skills in like all areas of life I think tie in unique ways. So I can totally see that kind of practice in social settings and being around people, you're more comfortable being on camera or being out in public.
When it comes to your own brand, it is interesting because it feels a lot different and there's a whole vulnerability factor. But I think the more you do it, the easier it becomes, and it just becomes second nature.
Yeah, I bet. What is one thing that you both are most proud of in running Bambi in a Swim so far?
Well, for me, I feel that it's something that I created myself, and it's a business that I created myself with my business partner, Diana, of course, but it's something of my own, and that I love that.
And I think I just love when people wear our pieces and then tell us how they feel or how they felt wearing it. It's a really cool feeling to know that you created something that somebody else wears and it brings them confidence and that they feel good in it. So I think that to me, that's a really amazing part about having this business, is that something that we create actually translates to bringing joy into somebody else's life.
Exactly. Allison, I believe it was what I listened to one of your podcasts, and you said that you know that you're on track when a customer tries on the sample and you see them smiling. It brings a smile to their face, and you say, "Oh, I'm doing something right." And that's the same way when we were testing the robe, this latest collection, we had some family members try them on, and they were literally dancing. And it just brought them joy, and it does make you feel really, really good. So that's a very nice part of your business.
I 100% agree with that, and it's so fun to see every time. I was at this past weekend, the art museum here in St. Louis does a Art in Bloom
Oh,
exhibit,
nice.
where they have different florists create like a bouquet based on some, pieces of art that they're
Oh,
paired with.
wow, that's amazing.
And yeah, it's really impressive. But when I was there, I saw somebody wearing a top that I had designed
Oh,
for one of the
really?
brands I work
Oh,
with.
cool.
Yeah, and it was like, this is so cool, you know? It's like to see somebody like out in the wild wearing something that
Yeah.
like I design or you know I patterned is it's always so cool to see like, okay, this person, you know, found something that felt like them and that they feel good in, they're wearing it out to this event, and yeah, it's very
It's
satisfying
very
to see.
that's great.
So cool. Well, I have one more question for both of you that I ask everyone at the end of the interview, which is if you could communicate one value to the world through the clothes you design, what would it be?
I think that to buy and wear what generally makes you happy and brings you joy, I think that, there's a lot out there. Oh, if you're a certain age or body type, you should wear this and not that. But I think if you feel great in, a string bikini at any age, or just wear it, wear things that bring you joy and make you happy, and don't be afraid to be bold and not care what other people think.
Yeah, I agree with everything Diana just said, and I really feel that confidence is everything. It really is. If you feel confident, you can rule the world. And with our designs and our garments, we want to make women feel confident and at the same time create something that's going to last, both style-wise and quality-wise. It's really hard to only look at quality garments because not everyone can afford $300 robe. And I find myself, the older I get and the more and more I shop and the more I am in this business, I read every single label, and if it's manufactured for someplace that I think is questionable, I don't buy it. But what value is just to feel confident in what you wear, and also buy less and buy better if you can.
Yeah, that's a great point of even, you know, talk about confidence wearing it, but it sounds like you also kind of look for confidence in how it was made. Like you want to
Yes.
feel good about how it was made and what went into it. And yeah, that's a great point.
I think our purchasing power really matters, and I think, like you said, Mom, like just buy less and buy better and be more intentional about what we buy. And the phrase, voting with your dollar, it really does matter where we decide to spend our money in the products that we buy. Makes a difference to small businesses, and I think it's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so true. Well, this has been so wonderful, Diana and Janet, to get to know you and Bambina Swim better. Where can people find out more about the brand online and see your cardamom collection and whatever upcoming pieces you release?
Yes, our website is bambinaswim.com, and you can find us on Instagram at Bambina underscore swim. And also, for your guests, we're offering 10% off with code HOWFITTING, and you can just enter that at checkout.
Wonderful. I'll put a link to all of that in the show notes. And thank you again. This has been so fun.
Thank you. So nice to meet you. You're wonderful.
Yes,
Oh,
thank you
thanks.
very
You
much.
as well.
Very much, Allison. It was really fun and wonderful to meet you.
I'm good. Great to meet you as well. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. If you'd like more episodes and resources like this about growing a fashion business that fits your customer, lifestyle, and values sent straight to your inbox, you can sign up for my email list at howfittingpatterns.com/newsletter. Again, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for the next episode of How Fitting.